Success is irrelevant, and good thing too, because as long as I'm writing for someone else's idea of success or for success itself, that elusive, indefinable nonsense, it wouldn't be me writing anyway. So the shift is tiny but massive. It's very grounding, but it is transcendent. I get to wake up today and I get to create the world. And I get to stand in the face of everything from the outside that wants to create me, that wants to make me and mold me. And tomorrow I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to say, today I get to make the world, and the world will not be making me. So welcome to the Beth Stanfield Free Podcast, aka BS Free. Okay, everybody, I'm back. It has been a really long time, actually. I started recording this about 10 minutes ago, and something was bothering me. Like, in the back of my mind, I couldn't figure out what it was, you know? Like, I'm sitting here at my desk, I've got my space, I've got the right lights, I have my right pens, the correct ones. Everything is pretty much in order. It's not too hot, not too cold, and then I realized what my body was telling me was that I needed some coffee, so I had to stop. Make some coffee, like the best coffee ever, y'all. Oh, so good. I had to stop, make some coffee, and come back. So just in case you need to do that, if you're not driving or something, and you need to stop, get some coffee, and come back, this is a good time to do it. Okay. All right. So now we're in it. All right. I want to tell you why I have been AWOL for a few weeks. That is because I'm in the last month of a 3-month period of writing a book. I've been writing the book longer than that, but just for 3 months, it's definitely been like the complete the manuscript time frame. And, you know, there are people out there that can finish books in weeks or less than that. But I'm also working, you know, a heavy schedule with work and building a business, taking care of kids, going to soccer games, buying food, making food. You know, and those chocolate chip cookies are not going to make themselves. So someone's got to do it. Someone's got to take that for the team. So, and of course, I've been dancing. But, you know, the real deal is that the time that I would otherwise spend recording, connecting with people to record, plan podcast episodes, all of that, it's now going toward completing the manuscript. So that's what's slowing me down a little bit. I will pick up the pace again in April and get back on a regular weekly recording schedule and publication schedule. But regardless of all of that, I do want to just thank you for listening in. There's a lot of really great, entertaining, and smart, and intelligent, important podcasts out there. And gosh, I mean, I just love it. I love being alive in this time. I love being alive at a time where there's so much connection, so much kinetic energy, so much beauty and magic exchanged. And so in a lot of ways, I feel like this is, I'm a part of some type of a cosmic orchestra. And this podcast is my part. It's my little flute solo. Okay, I've already told you that my word for this year is transcendence. And transcendence is a word that means essentially to rise above. There's an element of it that isn't simply ascension or ascent. It's not just the rising. It invokes this idea of rising above something. So there is a distinction. You are transcending something else, something below, something beneath. And you are rising above it. Always think of Michelle Obama and her saying that when they go low, we go high. To me, that's the essence of transcendence. And it's not always a they. Today, it's not about a particular type of person or a particular type of group. I want to really hone in on the concept of transcending outside feedback. Okay, so it's basically everything external, and not everything external is bad, but there's an element of understanding who you are in this world and absolutely rooted in having an understanding of what is intrinsic to you, what is authentic to you, and what is being built or created or propelled by an outside force. Let me explain, and I want to explain it in as much detail as I can and explain to you something that's happening in my current life right now that is blowing my mind. Let me explain first what I wake up thinking about today. I woke up today thinking this: am I making the world, or is the world making me? It's this concept of my orientation from sun up to sundown. And even while I sleep, I believe that my subconscious is still creating my reality. And I still have agency even within the subconscious energy that lives and moves and breathes over me even while I sleep. But the concept is one of moving from a life of default to intentional action. It's the difference between you taking an affirmative lead over your life or living a life in default mode. It's the difference between being the actor taking action in your life or living a life of reaction. The most powerful image I have for this is just like I talked about when I wake up. Am I creating the world? Am I waking up and allowing the insides, my decisions, my attitude, my outlook, the things that move and propel me, the things that excite me, the things that I will be drawn to and that I put my energy into, am I creating those things from the inside out? Or is the world creating me from the outside in? Is the world and its ideals and its outcomes and its requirements, everything that the world wants me to be, am I taking on those expectations, forming myself to fit them, and thereby allowing whatever that outside feedback is to create me? And when we even say that, creating me, you really have to stop and wonder, is it even creating me, or is it creating something different from me? When it's from the outside in, it's really not an element of creation. It's really more of an element of forming, of molding. So am I making the world that I choose, or is the world molding me into the form that it chooses? Sometimes it can feel the same, but there's a world of difference in a life that is lived from the inside out versus a life that is dictated from the outside in. Okay, hopefully I have painted, at least to the best of my ability in this moment, at least painted a picture of what I'm talking about, that distinction that I am attempting to describe of an inside out existence versus an outside in existence. To me, this is the shift that brings us into transcendence. This right here, this is what I'm talking about, okay? And it could be tiny. It could be the tiniest little tiny thing. It could be something that seems meaningless and really is meaningless, except to you, because you know what the distinction is. It could be something so innocuous, like I'm not going to show up to this thing wearing the thing I know that I am expected to wear. I'm going to show up wearing something that I just like, that it just feels like me, even though it's not the norm. Maybe it's a jeans and a t-shirt to a dress-up event. Maybe it's the opposite. Whatever. That's a pretty small example, and you're the only one that knows. But an inside-out existence, when you're able to pinpoint the shift, can also be massive. All right, I'm going to talk to you about this shift. It's happened for me over the last 2 months, and it came in two parts. So I'm going to describe part one and part two to you. All right. So the first one, I have referenced this before, but I'm going to break it down even more. In sitting down to produce anything of any artistic or creative value, and I would even include things professionally in that bucket as well. You know, even sitting down to write a brief, which is, a very academic kind of, it's very technical, but there's a finesse to it as well. And I absolutely, when I sit down to write any type of court document, I pour my creative side into that as well, my writer side. It's always been there. But, you know, it's different when you are producing something with a goal is very outcome determinative. You're trying to win. You're trying to convince the judge to rule in your favor based on the compelling argument and accuracy of your case citations and analysis. Very different when you're creating art with the goal of nothing other than to produce something that is an authentic reflection of your artistic idea. In other words, the goal isn't to produce some outside change or action or decision. The goal is to get your art from your mind and your body into the world. So that's the easy part, right? You just sit down and you do that. You just produce your art. That's all you do. Right. That's, yeah. Okay, I would be completely lying if I said that that was my mindset when I sat down to write this book. I didn't. I produced a good, let's say, 15,000 to 20,000 words in the mindset that was exactly the same as the one that I have when I approach brief writing. Was that exactly the same? I just replaced the identifiable outcome, as in I'm writing to persuade the judge to rule in my favor. We know who the judge is, and we know what is in our favor. Okay. Now, when I sat down to write the book, all I did was really sit down and attempt to persuade an unknown judge of a known outcome. So the only difference is I don't know exactly who's going to be judging it. Obviously, anybody who reads it, that's the judge. But I don't know who that judge is. But I haven't changed anything about my mindset. Okay. I haven't changed anything. I sat down to try to put my words together in such a way to convince an unknown, unidentified reader of an outcome that I had already predetermined. And here is the outcome that I was going for. Here is how I wanted you, the unidentified reader, to be persuaded. I wanted to persuade you that I'm a good writer and that I have the right an ability to say what I'm saying through my writing. Isn't that interesting? And I'm not done. I also wanted you, the unidentified reader, to read it and go, wow, that was very beautifully said. I wanted it to be beautiful. Okay. So I wanted it to be really well written, good. I wanted it to validate my doing of the thing. You know, I wanted to say certain things that were right enough and relevant enough and timely, culturally, you know, poignant. And on their own, those are not necessarily bad ideals. Qualitatively, I've never in my life and will never set out to produce something that is knowingly substandard. But here's what happens when you write to an outside source. I was writing to the goal of it being good. All right. I was writing to the outcome of the book being of value. I was writing to the outcome of it being beautiful. And so here's really what I was doing. This is a classic example of the world making me instead of me making the world, instead of me writing the book, okay? Instead of me being the author of the book are the outside values that I'm looking to, the outside value of good, the outside value of important, the outside value of beautiful. So that external value, those were writing the book. Those things were writing the book. It's not my book. It would have been, had I continued along in that way, it would have been a nice sounding book, a beautiful, perhaps appearing book, an important sounding looking book, according to an outside value, whatever that outside value was in my mind at the time when I was writing, okay? But instead of me being the author, it would have been better for the byline, the authorship, to be attributed to that outside feedback, because that feedback was writing the book. I was not writing the book. I hope that makes sense. ultimately, here's what happens when you allow yourself to become a scribe for an outside voice. A couple things will happen. Number one, quite basically, it will not be you. It will not be an authentic product that is created from the inside out. It is an external product that's being created from the outside in. Number two, and here's really where it gets ugly, the product that you produce will not be magical. It will not be transcendent. It will not rise a single degree above the default mode of the most homogenous, boring, beige product known to man. And again, this whole time you've been trying to make something good and important and valuable, and yet all you produced is something basic, beige, and boring. Okay, that was shift number one. Here was the shift that made the difference. When I started to realize I was writing the book that was not my book, I was allowing my projections to write the book. When I gave that up, I had to rewrite my book writing job description. And I gave myself one job. And really, this is what the magic did, because the magic will come and save you. You know, if you're looking for it and you're like, oh, this is not magical, I need to find the magic, it will come and save you. And the magic gave me my job. And it said, you know what? All you have to do is, well, make some coffee. You got to do that first. Make some coffee, sit at the keyboard, and get yourself comfortable and turn on your lights and light a candle and do all the things. And even if it's just for 5 minutes or you happen to get 2 hours of time, it doesn't matter. You're just going to sit down and tell the truth. That's all you got to do. You just sit there and you just tell the truth. Whether it comes out vocally, like I'm doing now, or whether it comes out in typing, or whether it comes out on the Instagrams, which is one of the most unmagical places on the planet. I don't know, TikTok probably has it beat, but you know what I'm saying. Talk about performing for an outside audience, you know. Talk about living from the outside in instead of the inside out. And we think it's different. We think it's the other way around, and it is not, 99.9% of the time. And that's some of the work I've got to do. But I got enough to do right now, getting this manuscript finished. Things definitely changed when I started just telling the truth, okay? I truly just got rid of a lot of what I had already written, you know, because it was, I'm just not interested in writing somebody else's book. So the writing process got a little bit better. I was able to really dig into, or really just kind of let it flow. Telling the truth is not easy, but it's not as hard as writing someone else's book. But then there was a second thing, and this leads to the second big shift, and this is like the big shift. The second thing that started happening is that then I was like, oh, I have to tell all the truth. I felt this sort of like Eminem lose yourself pressure, you know, like you got one shot. Do not miss your chance to lose. Opportunity comes once in a lifetime. I started to get that kind of energy about it. Like I have to make it everything. It has to be everything. And so then I started to unpack what that was about, you know, because it's like I have been silent. I have not been using my voice, and I have been silent for over 20 years. And you can't express a stockpile of words and thoughts and belief and beauty and magic. It's not going to come out all at once. It shouldn't come all at once. It should not. It's going to take longer than 2 months to unpack the truth of 20 years. You know what I'm saying? But when I really looked under this sense of urgency, it wasn't so much that I thought, I've got to say all these things right now. Here's what it was. What I was thinking is that I won't have a right to say these things if I don't say them well the first time. Here's what I was doing. There was still a string attached to the process of writing, to the actual product in writing. There was still it really wasn't a string. It was anchored. There was an anchor attached to what I'm doing now. And it's a biggie, man. And it was this. If this first book is not successful, I have lost my right to draft a second book. Okay, I really, truly like, this is deep, dude. I really, really believe this. I really, in my core anchoring belief, was that the only justification for writing a second book would be the success of the first. The only justification, the only legitimacy to any value of writing a second book is based on the success of the first. So success itself, success of the first book, that was the Holy Grail. It had to be successful to validate the process. It had to be successful to validate the process of what I'm doing now. And it had to be successful to validate the process of doing it again a second time. I really, truly believe that in my heart of hearts, deep down, really believed that success was the definition. It was the defining element of anything that I do. And who determines success? Who? Who determines success? Who and how? Would it be the internet? Would it be Instagram? Would it be an Amazon bestseller list? Would it be a community? Would it be New York Times? Would it be a review? Would it be stars? Would it be number of copies sold the first week? Would it be a request for an audiobook? Would it be a journal that's done on the side? Would it be number of books sold in the first 6 months? Would it be money? Would it be profit? Who and what determines, who and what and how determines the success of a book? Did any of the things that I just mentioned include me? No, they did not. And so, once again, we're back to the question, am I writing this book, or is the outside perceived success writing the book? Who's writing this book? Am I writing the book, or is the future book review writing the book? Is my projection of some elusive future success writing the book? And then again, I came back to this thing. If some unidentified, unknown, unquantifiable person or group or thing writing the book, I have lost myself. I have lost authorship. And I have certainly lost the magic. That is not a transcendent work of art. We've gone right back in to beige, basic, boring. Because when you produce something that in the end, and only you can know, you can know whether or not you're doing it for a purpose that is external to you. If you're doing it in a manner that appeases, satisfies, and projects an ideal outside of you, only you can know that. And so you can pass something off as magic, and you can pass something off as success, and yet really truly be a fraud, because you didn't write that book. You didn't write that book. You crowdsourced that book. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's transcendence. Transcendence is transcending the crowd. Transcendence is producing a work of art from the inside out and not producing the outcome of whatever is out there from the outside in. And so here's where this massive shift got really, really real and wild for me. This happened several weeks ago when I was in the car on my way to visit my sister, who is dealing with some major medical issues. And so there's just a lot going on with that and a lot of extra time in the car to sort of process and commune with magic. So that's what I was doing. I was driving my car and thinking about this. And by this time, you know, the anchor had already been jostled a little bit. You know, we're already starting to uproot some of these things. And I was getting some clarity about the absolute ridiculousness of allowing my process to be dictated by the success or failure of this first book. You know, like I was starting to really kind of really come to terms with the fact that that's just bonkers. You know, I was having this weird thing with thinking that Liz Gilbert was in my ear, but she was singing Another One Bites the Dust. Like, I don't know if that makes no sense. Basically, just this idea that here's this person who says that she has a book in her and that she has writing in her and she's producing it and she's pouring her heart and soul into this thing. And then if it doesn't hit, right? If it doesn't hit however she or they think it's supposed to hit, she doesn't do it again. We know what that is, right? Another one bites the dust. And then this is when it hit me. The big shift. Here it is. I suddenly became aware, like spiritually, magically, transcendentally, every one of them, I became magically aware that I am a writer. Here's the thing, I didn't know that yet. I didn't know that. Up to that point, I didn't know it. I thought I was a lawyer who writes. I thought I was a wife who says things. I thought I was a dance fitness instructor who posts on the interwebs. I thought I was a person who writes things and speaks on stage on occasion. But that's not even the big shift part. Here's the big shift part. When the magic just reminded me, you know, little tap on the shoulder. Hey, did you forget who you were? Did you forget that I gave you this gift? Did you forget? Because I'm just going to come over here and remind you. And that's what the magic did. Their magic just came over and said, hey, by the way, you don't need to listen. You don't need to hear this from your coach, your publisher, your friends, your family, Liz Gilbert, the Liz Gilbert that lives in your brain. You don't need to hear this from everybody that you love and everybody that you're trying to impress and everybody that you're even scared to approach. You just need to hear it from me. And the magic just came and said, again, you're a writer. So write. And then I started crying, which is odd because that's not what I do. I don't do that. In fact, I fight it. That's a whole thing. I write about that in the book too. But I did. If somebody reminds you who you really are and you forgot for a long time and they remind you, gosh, it feels like coming home. It feels like freedom because it is freedom and because it is coming home. And the outcome of the big shift is this right here. And I want you to hear this part and then I'm going to wrap up. Here's the big thing. When the magic reminded me of who I am, everything else became irrelevant. The, am I going to write a second book or I have to make this first book really good, right? It has to really perform. It has to be successful. And that's the only way I will know whether or not I'm allowed, if I'm qualified, if I'm justified to write a second book. All of that stuff, I mean, it evaporated. It's gone. I'm a writer. So when I get done with this podcast, I'm going to sit down, make another cup of coffee, and start a new chapter because I'm a writer. And when I finish the book and send it off to the publisher to do the cover art and all that stuff, I'm not going to stop writing. I'm going to take some of the good stuff that didn't make it into the first book, and I'm going to write a second book, and I'm going to write a third book, and I'm going to write a fourth book, and I'm never going to stop writing. And it does not matter what happens. It doesn't matter. It truly doesn't matter. Because two things that I have come to realize over the last year came together like combustible alchemical craziness. And that's this. I was born to speak and I've got a lot to say. And number two, I'm a writer and I'm going to keep writing until I die. I am not going to leave this planet until I have spilled all of my words like blood, until every single drop is liquidated from my body, I will keep writing. There's nothing that anybody can do to shut my mouth, to keep my hand from the pen, because I'm going to keep going. Success is irrelevant, and good thing too, because as long as I'm writing for someone else's idea of success or for success itself, that elusive, indefinable nonsense, it wouldn't be me writing anyway. So the shift is tiny but massive. It's very grounding, but it is transcendent. I get to do this today and tomorrow. I get to wake up today and I get to create the world. And I get to stand in the face of everything from the outside that wants to create me, that wants to make me and mold me. And tomorrow I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to say, today I get to make the world, and the world will not be making me. That's transcendence. Y'all, I've said a lot of things about this. I've gone on a little longer than I intended to, but I hope this makes sense. And I hope that you wake up tomorrow and you say to yourself, today I'm going to make the world. I am going to create the world, and I'm going to walk into it. And I hope you say that every day. All right, I'll see you on the next one.